Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
As we know, the two planes that pierced the North and South Towers of the World Trade Center in New York 11 years ago departed from Boston's Logan Airport, a fact that has since heightened security at Logan and led to an overhaul of security procedures there. Peter DiDomenica, a veteran of the Massachusetts State Police, was brought in as Logan's Director of Security Policy after 9/11. Since then, through his own private company, he's trained airport and mass transit security screeners at other airports around the world. He's now a detective lieutenant with the Boston University Police Department, and Peter joins us in the studio this morning. Peter, thanks for coming in on this 9/11 anniversary.
Good morning, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
Let me ask you to bottom line this, if you would, Peter. How much safer are airports now, including Logan Airport, 11 years later?
I would say remarkably safer. The past decade, just in terms of fatalities for any reason on aircraft, commercial aircraft, it's been the best 10 years in the history of commercial aviation. It is the safest form of transportation. Probably the most dangerous part of your trip is not the flight. It's driving there. That's probably going to be the most dangerous.
Well, why do you say it's safer in regarding the terrorism threat?
Because of the various changes that have been implemented. I was involved with one of them, which was this idea of behavioral profiling of people, not racial profiling, but looking at people's behavior to look for people doing things that might indicate hostile intent or doing something very dangerous. Any number of physical security improvements, like better cockpit doors, better awareness of flight crews and airline staff, hardening of the just the perimeter of the airport.
Let's talk just a moment, if we can, about the system that you were involved in that you just mentioned. It's called the SPOT system. It's a behavioral profiling system, but some say it's a racial profiling system, that it's led to racial discrimination. What's your response to that?
It's possible that's occurred. You know, one of the dangers of using behavioral profiling is that it could easily bleed into looking at people based on some obvious characteristics like their race. And so part of the training for this is to ensure people are aware of this danger, you know, how it happens and how to prevent it. But that's not enough. And once you train people and put them out there doing this, you have to watch them constantly.
So how do you wash that out of people so that behavioral profiling does not become race profiling, because you just can't tell?
In most cases, I'd say the vast majority of cases, if it does occur, it's not a conscious, deliberate effort to target someone because of their race. It's more likely to be the result of what's called unconscious bias or implicit bias, that people on an unconscious level are making a decision about who's dangerous, and it's changing their perception. It's changing how they look at people. And so what you have to do is make people aware of this through the training that they're going to do this, and ways to prevent themselves from doing it.
When you walk through airports today, what do you see as the biggest security challenges that remain?
I guess it's keeping the throughput at a reasonable rate. In other words, doing all these things but not causing the system to come to a grinding halt.
And you mean delays in getting people through that security checkpoint?
Correct. I mean, and you know, keeping the flights on time, keeping people as stress-free as possible, so that the experience, you know, is, I'm not going to say it's pleasurable, but it, you know, it's not unpleasurable, and you get to where you need to go without undue interference. Balancing the need for the security with people's need to get on a plane and get to where they're going with the least obstruction, I think that's the challenge.
So when you're traveling through an airport, or you listen to friends talk about their travel through an airport, what do you say to those people who grumble about having to take their shoes off, who grumble about having their shampoo and 3 ounces of mouthwash looked at closely?
Well, I'm one of those people that grumble, but by and large, there has to be some screening, and most of what's being done is necessary. Now, you know, the devil's in the details. I mean, how much of this do you have to do? I believe it's possible with a kind of a risk-based method, you can back off some of these things. A more kind of a intelligent way of doing this, or intelligence-based way of doing this, a more threat-based way of doing this, you can remove some of these procedures that people have to go through. On the other hand, you want to keep it kind of random and unexpected. Just like when you're driving down the Mass Pike, kind of what keeps you from going too fast is the fact that right around that bend could be a trooper. And so what keeps you from flooring the car is that expectation there could be some type of a presence there. It's the same thing with aviation screening. You don't have to do everything all the time. You just have to create this expectation that something could happen.
Peter DiDomenica, thanks for coming in, and have a good day on this 9/11 anniversary.
Thank you, Bob.